Good morning. My name is Brandy, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the proposed economic program for 2011. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to turn the call over to Miguel McMaker, followed by Gerardo Rodriguez. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. First of all, good morning and welcome everybody to the Mexican Ministry of Finance's call on the proposed economic package for 2011. We would like to remind our friends from the press that this call is off the record. Given that you all have the bulletin that we published that contains all the details, I'll just go over very briefly about some of the salient points of the economic program for 2011 from the point of view of economic activity and public finances, and then Gerardo Rodriguez, who's here with me, will follow up with the debt strategy for next year. An apology because Vice Minister Mead could not accompany us to the call. First of all, just to go over what we're assuming for the end of 2010, as most of you saw, we reviewed our forecast of growth for 2010 to a level of 4.5%. This is pretty much in line with what private sector analysts have, is at all slightly smaller, but not by much. So overall, I think that our assumptions for 2010 are reasonable and relatively conservative. An issue that has come up in the last couple of days are questions about our forecast. For inflation, we're forecasting an inflation by the end of 2010 of 5%. Here, with respect to this forecast, as well as the 3% that we have for 2011, I would like to clarify that they're basically the central forecast of the central bank. Most likely, with respect to these forecasts, there are significant downside risks with respect to our forecast of 5% inflation for 2010, and clearly the levels of inflation that we have observed during this year suggests that there is a very high probability that we will end below this 5%. As for the 3% of 2011, again, I would like to repeat that this corresponds to the central forecast of the central bank. Though in that case, probably we have a little bit more of an upside risk, though the evolution of both inflation and in particular core inflation and the strong decreasing trend that we have observed in core inflation suggests that the trajectory that we're observing seems to be consistent with the possibility of attaining this inflation rate towards the end of this year. From the point of view of public finances for 2010, we're anticipating that we'll be closing the year with a deficit of 90 billion pesos, just as was approved in the economic program for 2010. We're anticipating that we could have some small excess revenues with respect to what was originally in the program in the order of 25.6 billion pesos or 0.9%. This would be a result of higher revenues, particularly from the point of view of oil, together with other higher revenues in public entities different from Pemex, which would be partially offset by lower tax revenues of the federal government by about 10 billion. With respect to these lower tax revenues, the basic reason why we think we're going to be slightly short of program is that many taxpayers anticipated the increase in taxes that would be observed in 2010 as part of the reform that was approved for this year. And in that respect, they decided to anticipate as much of their tax payments as they could to the end of 2009 in order to be making those tax payments at the lower tax rates before the reform actually kicked in. If you remember, our numbers for the end of 2009 were much better than originally expected, and probably this was part in an important way due to some of this anticipation of tax payments which were made at the end of 2009. From the point of view of debt, the public sector borrowing requirements are expected to end at 3.2%, which is exactly the level that was approved in Congress. This level is 0.6 percentage points of GDP higher than the one observed in 2009, basically due to the deficit of 0.7% that we have for this year. Nevertheless, we anticipate that we will observe a decline in the historical balance of the public sector borrowing requirements from 37.1% at the end of 2009 to 36.8% at the end of this year. If you remember, originally we had envisaged that we could see a slight increase in the level of debt to GDP and in the historical balance of the PSBR to GDP due to the deficit that we were going to be having this year. In the end, slightly higher growth together with an appreciation of the exchange rate is going to imply that even this year we're going to be observing a decline in this wide measure of public sector liabilities during this year. Moving on to 2011, the basic assumptions that are underlying the economic program are a GDP growth of 3.8% in 2011. Again, this is more or less in line with private sector expectations for growth during next year. Inflation is forecasted, as I mentioned, at 3%. The average reference price for the Mexican oil mix is $63 per barrel, and that assumption basically comes from the formula that we have in the federal budget and fiscal responsibility law. And the oil production platform is expected to decline slightly from 2,577,000 barrels per day to 2,550,000 barrels per day. The economic program is more or less inertial. It does not consider the creation of new taxes nor the increase of existing taxes. Moreover, we did not present a tax bill as we had already done once during this administration. And this basically responds to the fact that both economic activity and tax collection have evolved more or less in line, in fact, slightly more favorably, with respect to what we had originally envisaged. And in that respect, we did not believe that from a macro point of view, we needed to make any additional changes to the tax structure. Overall, what we're proposing to Congress is a deficit, is a budget deficit without Pemex's investment of 42.2 billion pesos, equivalent to 0.3% of GDP. This is basically the same as we proposed last year and when we present the public finance strategy for 2010 to 2012 with a number in billion pesos simply updated for inflation, and we continue with the idea of reestablishing a full budget balance, a balanced budget by 2012 in line with a strategy that was proposed last year, this without Pemex's investment. Pemex's investment basically grows by a rate similar to economic growth, so we're keeping it constant as a percent of GDP at the level that was approved for this year, which is 2 percentage points of GDP. In terms of public sector revenues, we're estimating them at 3 trillion 22 billion pesos. This is 3.9% higher than those approved for this year, and 3% higher with respect to those estimated for this year. Within total revenues, oil-related revenues are estimated to grow by 4.5% with respect to those approved for this year. Non-oil revenues are expected to increase by 3.6% in real terms with respect to those approved for last year. Within non-oil revenues, tax revenues are expected to grow by 7.3% in real terms. And this is basically due to the economic recovery that we already observed in 2010, which is expected to continue in 2011, together with the effect of the administrative and tax evasion measures included in the reform of 2009. And finally, the fact that the measures that were approved in 2009 will be applying for 12 months of the year instead of 11 months as they applied during 2010. This important increase in tax revenues is going to allow us to compensate a reduction of 37.2% in non-recurring revenues with respect to those estimated for 2010. If you remember, we had very high levels of non-recurring revenues in the order of 90 billion pesos for this year. These are basically going to come down by almost half to levels which are much more consistent with the level of non-recurrent revenues that we typically observe in regular years. And this is due to the fact that we decided to use an important amount of non-recurrent revenues during 2010 to make up for some of the shortfall in non-oil tax revenues that we were going to be observing in 2010 due to the business cycle. From the point of view of expenditures, given the increase that we're observing in non-oil tax revenues, which is slightly above economic growth, but with the important reduction in the deficit from 90 billion in 2010 to 42 billion in 2011, obviously expenditures have to increase by a smaller amount than total revenues. So total expenditures are expected to increase by 2.1% without Pemex's investments, and by 2.3% when we include Pemex's investment. Within total expenditures, non-programmable expenditures are expected to increase by 5.9%, with a very important increase of 6.8% in shared revenues which are transferred to the states. This is basically due to the fact that by substituting non-recurrent revenues which are not shareable for tax revenues which are fully shareable, this implies that we're observing a very important increase in the transferred and shared revenue that the state would be receiving during 2011. Finally, this leaves us with an increase in programmable expenditures of 0.7% without including Pemex's investment and 1.1% when we include Pemex's investment. Just in general terms, basically, the allocations in terms of specific items within the budget, we decided to increase in a very significant way the resources devoted to order and security and to national security, which overall are increasing by levels. It depends somewhat by ministry, but we have very important increases for defense, for the Marine, for the Army, and for social security. And for domestic security, with increases in the order of 10% in real annual terms. In terms of social expenditure, the overall amount is maintained approximately constant in real annual terms, but with important increases in social security and in health expenditures, particularly in the Seguro Popular. And finally, in terms of expenditures allocated for economic development, we're observing very important increases for the Ministry of Economy, in particular for those programs related with development of small and medium-sized firms. And with that, we're maintaining a policy to promote our priorities in these three different sectors. With that, let me turn over to Gerardo Rodríguez. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Miguel. With regards to public debt policy for 2011, let me first get started with domestic debt. The economic program for next year considers a net indebtedness ceiling of 340 billion pesos, which is 40 billion pesos lower than the level approved in 2008, pretty much in consistency with a lower deficit of the federal government. Within the economic policy guidelines, by the way, we incorporated two or three pages that outline sort of the broad aspects of the strategy for debt policy next year. There, we established that the objective will be aimed at the strengthening the structure of public debt and to promote further development and efficiency of local financial markets. In particular, I would just highlight with regards to domestic debt the following four items. First, to strengthen the liquidity of long-term government securities, taking advantage certainly of the recent inclusion of the Mexican domestic bonds in the main global indices of government securities, in particular the WGBI, which is run by Citibank and has a pretty strong base of followers out of Asia. The government also in this context will continue issuing the new benchmark bonds through the syndicated format, which has proved this year to be an efficient way to create efficient and liquid benchmark securities. Second, improving average life and maturity of the domestic debt portfolio, subject to, of course, to local market conditions, and promoting an orderly development of the long end of the yield curve. Third, consolidating the direct issuance program of government securities in order to facilitate access to financial services for medium and small investors. We are planning to proceed with our treasury direct type of initiative later this year in the fourth quarter, and next year would be a year of consolidation. And fourth, we are also planning to encourage a further development of the inflation index bond market through initiatives that increase the liquidity of these instruments in the secondary market, taking advantage of, say, the dynamism that we will see in this market with the introduction of the recent pension system reform, in which some of the workers will start to buy annuities next year and the following years in a more important way. With regards to external debt, the proposed program implies a net indebtedness ceiling of $5 billion. That is $3 billion lower than the level approved in 2010, also consistent with the reduction of the deficit that we are proposing. And in that sense, the external debt strategy will have the following three objectives. First, to obtain the required resources from international capital markets, focusing on the consolidation of benchmark bonds and improving the terms and conditions of external debt. Second, to diversify our funding sources and try to broaden as much as possible the investor base by reaching non-traditional markets and obtaining financing in favorable terms. And third is to gradually reduce the funding that we've been using from international financial institutions, especially the World Bank and the IDB, as a result of better conditions in overall capital markets. Finally, I would want to mention that the public sector borrowing requirements in 2011 will be equivalent to 2.7 points of GDP. That is half a percentage point lower than those anticipated for 2010, as Miguel mentioned, due mainly to the reduction of the public deficit by 0.04 percentage points of GDP. This implies that by the end of 2011, the historical balance of the public sector borrowing requirements will be 36.6% of GDP, that is 0.2 percentage points of GDP lower than those expected for the end of this year. So with that, we conclude the introductory remarks, and perhaps we can move to the Q&A section. Thank you.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. You have a question from the line of Leopoldo Pimienta with GBM Securities.
Hi, Miguel. Hi, Carlos. Good morning. Thank you for hosting this conference. First of all, what do you think are the main risks of your economic background for 2011? Second question could be, could we give us a rough estimate on how much Do you expect fuel prices will increase in 2011? Do you expect this increase may continue to take part every second week? So please give us some comments on these two questions.
Leopoldo, first of all, on the fuel price increases, we're basically going to be continuing with a policy such as we have seen during the last 10 years, with the exception of 2009, of having gradual increases in the price of domestic fuel, which are consistent with, on the one hand, expected inflation on the year, but on the other hand, also taking into account the opportunity cost that is implied by foreign domestic prices. So in that respect, we will continue having a flexible policy with increases more or less once a month, considering these two elements, again, expected inflation for the year, together with some weight also on the opportunity cost of the prices that we're observing in international markets and in particular in the U.S. From the point of view of risks, obviously the most important ones are associated with economic developments in the U.S. As you know, during the last couple of months, people got very scared about the possibility of a double dip in the U.S. with important increases in the probability that was assigned to that scenario. In that respect, I think that if you, for example, compare our economic forecasts for both 2010 and 2011, I think we're being conservative, especially for 2010. Obviously, to the extent that we're being conservative or we're being careful for 2010, this gives us a little bit of margin for 2011 as well. And in that respect, I think that we have been prudent with respect to our estimations of GDP growth, considering the possibility of some slowdown in the U.S., which is incorporated in our numbers, but obviously a risk would be that you observed a very significant deceleration in the U.S. in the second half of 2010, and then that the pickup in 2011 is much lower than was anticipated. This obviously would probably have effects as well in terms of the price of oil. We would then need to see how the exchange rate adjusted in order to compensate automatically, because that's an automatic buffer that we have. We would need to see how the exchange rate would adjust in order to compensate for whatever decrease we observed in terms of oil prices. So in that respect, I would say that that is clearly, I think, the most important risk going forward.
Do you expect this conservative estimate to be subject to negotiations? Because PRI congressmen have mentioned that the GDP estimate is underestimated, that, as you mentioned, it's a very conservative one. And oil prices could be subject to upward revision. What do you think about it?
I mean, as always, and as in every year, we will have discussions with a PRI. I think that we will make a strong point in the negotiations in Congress that it would probably not be prudent either to increase the forecast for economic growth, or if we actually increase them for 2010, then what would seem to be prudent is to reduce them for 2011. And then, as you have seen every single year, what has happened in Congress, and I think that that is consistent with a framework that we have, basically Congress asks for the formula to be updated to incorporate the additional information that has been observed sort of in the time between when we calculated the formula and the time when the budget is going to be approved in Congress. This is something that has happened already during the last three budgets, and this is probably something that will happen, but something that I would like to emphasize is that the formula has always been respected, and basically what has happened is that we have updated our calculations of the formula with the last couple of months of information. As you know, we end the calculation by the 8th of August. So already by now we have 1 month of additional information, and presumably we will have some additional weeks by the time when the budget is being discussed and approved in Congress. And that could lead to some updating in terms of final oil price. But basically, what has happened is that Congress has respected the formula that's in the fiscal responsibility law. And basically what we have seen is an update of the information that used for the calculation.
Thank you.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. You have a question from the line of Eduardo Suarez with Royal Bank of Canada.
Hello, Gerardo. Hello, Miguel. I just have a couple of questions. Of the U.S. $5 billion of net external debt issuance, what proportion is federal government debt, well, U.S., and what proportion is Pemex? And the second one, what do you mean by non-traditional markets? Do you mean tapping different investor bases, or do you mean issuing in non-traditional currencies? Thanks.
Eduardo, of the $5 billion, most of that is expected to be used by the public, the, say, entities of the public sector, Pemex being certainly the most important entity with perhaps between 50 and 60% of the $5 billion. The government, the federal government, as you know, has been executing a policy more towards maintaining the absolute level of external debt. Probably we sort of used World Bank and IDB financing over the past couple of years because of market conditions. We increased external debt because of that. Next year we're planning to go back to more, say, the traditional strategy, which is to maintain external debt at the absolute levels that we have. While Pemex and other entities that certainly are executing projects that have some sort of external component into that in the revenue side, it makes sense for them to use external debt as the primary source of funding. For the federal government, in terms of other external markets, as you know, we've been looking at the yen market. We executed an important transaction late last year, and we are working on an additional transaction this year in a similar format. We are trying to develop the yen market as a recurrent source of funding, but try to do that in a non-guaranteed format. The market is not there yet. However, we will continue to explore ways. There's a lot of appetite out of Japan for Mexican assets, especially around the inclusion of the local market in the WIPI. So that's one area that we will continue to explore. The euro market, also, we have not accessed that for a number of years until a couple of months that we decided to go back to that market. We would like to establish that market also as a recurring source of funding. And that's pretty much it. We have been focusing exclusively in the dollar market, in the 10 and 30 year sector of the curve, and what we're trying to do is to expand further the menu of options so that we can have Asia and Europe also as potential recurrent sources of funding. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carlos.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We have a question from Pedro Tuesta with Forecast.
Good morning. Thank you for the conference call. I would like to know, is there any contingent plan in the case that the Congress decides to lower the VAT tax from 16 to 15%? Thank you.
No, we do not have any contingent plan. Obviously, as the fiscal responsibility law mandates, if Congress decides to make this change, then they will have to make changes as well to the overall levels of revenue in the revenue law approved for this year, and corresponding with that, make some type of adjustment to expenditures. We will have to see whether at the end, as you have seen probably, those who were proposing modifying the VAT tax rate mentioned that they needed and wanted to observe what the economic program looked like before making any final decision on the VAT issue. So obviously we will have to wait what comes up after their analysis and what they end up deciding.
At this time, there are no further questions.
Well, thank you very much. And as you know, for any additional questions that you might have, please contact us at the Investor Relations Office. Thank you.
This concludes today's proposed economic program for 2011. You may now disconnect.